welcoming all of you to Bhakti Sangha conference call today. We are very fortunate to have His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. Maharaj is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's give the brief introduction of Maharaj, an ocean of compassion, spreading Krishna consciousness to those who are the most unfortunate, caught in the web of criminal actions of the karma, and now suffering in jails are the target compassion for His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. When the society looks down upon the hardened criminals behind bars, Maharaj shows them a ray of hope by regularly meeting them, spreading the message of the holy name and love, taking pains to write letters to them, holding kirtans for them, and sending Prabhupada books to them. Any better way to do devotional service? How proud would Srila Prabhupada be of it? Born in New Jersey, USA in 1947, His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj came in contact with ISKCON, Denver, Colorado, at the age of 24. In 1973, he began practicing Krishna consciousness in New York City and shortly received initiation from His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In 1986, His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj accepted the sannyasa order and began preaching in Cincinnati and Columbus, Ohio. In the early 1980s, he became involved with the ISKCON Prison Ministry in the U.S. His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj is one of the leaders of ISKCON Prison Ministry and worked tirelessly to document the spiritual progressions of the worldwide intimate community in his book, Holy Jail. In over 30 years of operation, the lives of hundreds of inmates have changed due to the practice of Krishna consciousness and the support received by devotees. At present, His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj offers spiritual guidance around Europe, USA, and India.
Okay, so today's lesson is coming from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 21, entitled Instructions by Maharaj Prithu. This is text number 45. So I'll read the Sanskrit, and then I'll read the translation and purport. Maitreya Uvacha Iti Bruvanam Nirpatim Pitrigdeva Dvijataya Tustuyu Hrista Manasa Sadhu Vadena Sadavaha. Translation. The great sage Maitreya said, after hearing King Prithu speak so nicely, all the demigods, the denizens of Prithuloka, the brahmanas, and the saintly persons present at the meeting congratulated him by expressing their goodwill. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When a person speaks very nicely at a meeting, he is congratulated by the audience, who express their goodwill with the words sadhu, sadhu. This is called sadhuvada. All the saintly persons, pitas, denizens of Pitraloka, and demigods who were present at the meeting and heard Prithu Maharaj express their goodwill with the words sadhu, sadhu. They all accepted the good mission of Prithu Maharaj and were then fully satisfied. Om Agyan Timirandasya Kena Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadanti Swam Padantikam Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shri Makti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Niyavrishesa Sunyavari Pastyatyare Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mm. So this is one of the later verses in this chapter, practically at the end of the chapter. Instructions by Maharaj Prithu. Previously we heard verses describing the glories of the persons at the assembly. Being a king, he realizes his position in relationship to others, and mostly he understands he is the servant of the citizens. So he begs for blessings from the Brahmanas, from the Vaishnavas, from all the saintly persons present. He understands that the blessings of the great souls is the success of his ruling the kingdom in a way that is pleasing to the Supreme Lord and to all the praja, the citizens. Now, after speaking so many words, his good qualities have been noted by all. And one of the things that's mentioned here, which is the fundamental principle of today's verse, is that he spoke so nicely, and all everyone congratulated him and expressed their goodwill. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains different austerities. There are the austerities of the body, the austerities of the mind, and the austerities of speech. And Krishna lists these different austerities, and in the austerities of speech, he says one should speak truthfully and beneficially. One should avoid speech that offends, and one should recite the Vedas regularly. So this is called proper communication or proper expression. So this is a principle that allows for what we say a maximum amount of receptivity to those who are hearing what is being spoken. Speak truthfully, avoid sophistry, avoid, you know, duplicity, avoid hypocrisy, avoid harshness of speech. These are things that are being ruled out automatically by the positive, speaking truthfully, and in other words, and beneficially. Beneficially means for the benefit of those you are communicating to. So beneficially may be a broad definition in the sense that what depends on the audience. But in this particular case, he glorifies all of those personalities who are there in the assembly. And by their glorification, he becomes what we say an opportunity, or he becomes a personality who wants to be heard. He wants to be heard. This is actually one of the etiquettes for approaching great souls, is that you speak some of their glory, some of their qualities, and say something before you actually make your point within the speech. So he does that, and one of the things he asks for their blessings, their goodwill. And they're more than happy to express it. So nowadays, we find that people don't take in these things into consideration. A lot of times people just speak what's on their mind, not considering the receptivity of the person, or speaking in such a way as to want to forcibly put their opinion upon others. This kind of speech usually blocks communication or causes dissension on the other side. And so therefore, we find today that although people speak a lot, they can't communicate. And we find it everywhere. And because a lot of times people speak about the wrong things, or they speak in such a way as they are always putting forth their own agenda. Therefore, speech is a very important point. Chanika Pandit says that in this world there are three very desirable things. He says, food, water, and soft speech. He makes this point. One who speaks softly, and also one who speaks with the benefit of others, is speaking in such a way that the people want to listen and their points will be seriously accepted and taken. There was an incident in our Krishna Conscious Society. The incident refers to a particular pastime in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was one Brahmana, and very learned, and also a great personality. His name was Vallabha Acharya. He had a lot of regard for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he also was a great scholar. He had made statements in regard to one other great personality who was the original commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that was Sridhar Swami. So he said certain things that weren't pleasing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded in such a way as to defeat everything he said and reject everything he said. And so this was going on quite regularly. Although he was very learned, he had one problem. He was proud. And Mahaprabhu could detect this pride coming through everything he did. Although everything he said was, what we might say, philosophical correct, but that pride sort of polluted the whole knowledge that he was trying to communicate. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noted that, and very, what we say, systematically, and sometimes very strongly, was revealing his ignorance by defeating what he said in order to smash his pride. Now, this went on for some time. And then, of course, later on in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, the devotees had read this particular pastime and wrote an article in Back to Godhead magazine describing this pastime and also narrating it in such a way as to show that Vallabhacharya was not so much accepted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This article was read by one personality named Sumati Murariji. Sumati Murariji was the person who had given Prabhupada the voyage across the ocean. She owned that Scindia steam liner. And so Prabhupada was very much indebted to her. And she was a disciple or a follower of Vallabhacharya. Vallabhacharya actually had created his own sampradaya. Pushtimarg, I think. Yeah, Pushtimarg. And so when she read the article, she was very much offended because her guru was minimized in the article. And so she wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada expressing her dissatisfaction of what the article had said. Prabhupada very carefully and very sensitively, with great sensitivity, he responded to their letter explaining how his disciples were somewhat neophyte and they didn't understand the etiquette. Although they had correctly explained the pastime according to the scriptures, still Prabhupada took issue on the way they did it. And he quoted a particular saying, satyam priyam, satyam bruyam. Mm-hmm. That one must speak the truth in a pleasing way. Satyam priyam. Priya means pleasing, satyam bruyam. So he responded to Sumati Murariji's letters in trying to apologize for his disciples who didn't know the etiquette and how to present this controversy in the proper way, which caused dissension. And so this was an important point to understand. So sometimes it's not always possible, or at times it's not always possible, to speak something that is truthfully to someone who you may want to convince of something otherwise or communicate otherwise. But automatically, when the speech is pleasing and is done with sensitivity and regard for the person, then the transmission of the knowledge becomes more and more communicatable, or what we say receptible, like that. So here we find that King Prithu is speaking so nicely, and he's also speaking pleasingly. He's speaking nice words, and he's also speaking in a very nice way. So this is one of the qualities in the age of Kali that is being destroyed by our society. The modes of passion and ignorance are becoming more and more prevalent within society, and people have lost the etiquette on how to communicate. And sometimes people just speak very harshly, very rudely, very offensively, and expect that is all is required. But we find that causes what we say a blockage in transmission, and causes the other person to become unhappy. I was just in Boston, and I was one girl. She was telling me that just recently one devotee came, and he was giving a seminar on speech. And one of the things one should avoid in speaking, and one of the things one should include in their speaking. And one of the things that should be avoided is personal agenda. In other words, one is trying to gain something from this particular, what we say, communication. And the communication should be more as a source of information, or a source of reciprocation, or a source of bringing about reciprocation in such a way that everything ends. Even though there may be disagreement, there should be, and it should end on a sweet note. Or it should end in such a way as the persons are not so much unhappy with the results as opposed to what is being said. So what does that mean? That a lot of times you can say things that are unpleasant, but if you say them nicely or sweetly, they have a better chance of being accepted.
Being received and accepted.
Huh? What did you say?
Being received and accepted. Being received and accepted by others.
Being received and accepted by others, yeah. So we see as Kali Yuga progresses, Manda Sumanda Mateo Manya Bhaga Upadritaha, that people become more and more affected by the bad qualities of this age. And therefore one of the things that is being lost is the ability to communicate effectively. And sometimes communication is not even there. People assume, or what we say, conjecture, what happens in a situation without even communicating the persons involved. We find that also happens. When lack of communication is there, then assumptions automatically occur, and sometimes, and most of the time, assumptions are without enough knowledge of the situation. And so a lot of times this causes dissension. Sometimes this dissension, or what we say, miscommunication or misunderstanding, I think that is a better word, automatically occurs just by situations. There was one little pastime in the life of Srila Prabhupada where Prabhupada would like to greet guests. and when he was in the temple. And so when some, what we say, guests would come, and especially if someone, this guest was very, what we say, important or respectable, Prabhupada would go out of his way to make sure that the guest got everything that they needed. And so one time he welcomed one guest into the temple, and Prabhupada turned to his brahmachari assistant, who happened to be there, and said, go get him some maha prasadam. So the boy immediately left and went into the pujari room to look for maha. It just so happens that the pujari had just put the plates on the altar, and it was about to do he had done the offering, he was about to do his gayatri. And the boy came. The pujari said, well, you'll have to wait until the offering is over, and then prasadam will be available. So the boy returned to Prabhupada and explained, and Prabhupada said, no, you go get it now. So he went back into the pujari room. At that time, the pujari was chanting his gayatri. He walked right past the pujari, onto the altar, picked up the plate, and came off the altar. You can imagine how fast that gayatri was for the pujari. And so he chased after the devotee who was walking with the plate towards Prabhupada, and they both arrived at Prabhupada. So obviously the pujari was quite upset, but he didn't see the whole picture. He didn't see the whole picture, nor was it possible to communicate, or the boy didn't communicate everything until he actually understood everything from Prabhupada. So sometimes situations cause what we say dissension because of lack of understanding. I think that happens a lot in married life. We assume things. Familiarity breeds what we say indifference, and we assume that the wife will do everything that the husband wants, and we assume that the husband will do everything that the wife wants, or we assume that the husband will not do anything that the wife doesn't want, and vice versa. So the assumptions sometimes automatically are in place, and what happens when the assumption is breached because of lack of communications, then all of a sudden there is an increase in the atmosphere of the energy, and then communications turn into something different. So a lot of times, because of lack of communication, then there is a breakdown of information and understanding. And a lot of times, people don't really understand the situation, and therefore enemies are made, dislike. There's one story that's told by one great devotee in our movement where a husband and wife were fighting, and they were fighting, and they decided, well, this is the end of this relationship, so we're going to get a divorce. But then they decided, let's try some marriage counseling first. So they went to the marriage counselor, and the marriage counselor was quite good. And he finally understood what was the problem. And the man revealed it. He said, she makes bread for me, and when she cuts the bread, she gives me the end piece and keeps all the other pieces for herself. This proves she doesn't love me. And she does this all the time when she makes bread. So she doesn't love me. Okay. So then it was further investigated that the wife happens to be coming from the Italian country. She's Italian. And the culture in Italy is that when you make bread, you give the end piece to the guest because that's the best piece. The husband didn't know that, although he was married to his Italian wife. And she never explained it. So then when that was revealed, the marriage somehow stayed together. So sometimes we see when there is a lack of communication, or there's a lack of proper communication, I think that's just more relevant to what we're saying here, there automatically causes misunderstanding and breakdown of relationships. That's why it says that before you start any endeavor, whether it's in the family, it's in the workplace, or it's in society in general, the first principle is to talk about it. And have everybody clear about what is needed in order for everything to move in the direction you want it to move in. So we see that a lot of things are assumed. Now, here's another point that we can look at, that when a person is speaking philosophical teachings, they don't explain everything they speak about. They speak sometimes in PowerPoint presentations, giving sutras, verses, and points of information. And a lot of times, if people don't ask questions or don't get clarifications on what is said, they may assume that this person has got the wrong motivation or is not speaking correctly, either one. So, therefore, in that type of arena, questions are necessary. And I think as you go on here, you'll find that Maharaj Prithu is further glorified for his saintly qualities. And then there is a discussion. So a person, especially in a position of leadership, has to be a good communicator. Or if he's not, because of some character, lack of character, he should keep someone who is his right-hand man, to use a cliche, as one who is a good communicator. And so that person can be the liaison between the person and the people he's trying to reach, like that. And that person has to be good at communications and between both parties, like that. So, yeah. So that's one of the major breakdowns, or the cause of breakdowns in relationships today, lack of proper communications, both in the way it's being spoken and many times in what is being spoken. But the way it's being spoken is even more important, because if one is sensitive to the feelings of the other person, then the message has greater effects upon the receiver. In other words, the receptivity is increased, what we say, significantly. Okay, I wanted to make that point because I see that wherever we go, there is a difficult people have to communicate with each other. And therefore, there is so much misunderstanding in today's world. Okay, thank you. And I'll take questions if there are any.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, and all those to Srila Prabhupada and the speaker Maharaj. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for your wonderful chat. If anybody has any questions, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Dalot Pranam, Agastya Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. This is Lavanya from Dallas. Thank you so much for the material class, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
It's always nice to be here from Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Srinivasan Swami. This is Gail. I'm just saying Hare Krishna to you.
Hare Krishna, Gail. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And thank you for your class. I think it's such an important topic. This communication, you know, and not making the point about not making assumptions. I find that such a rampant epidemic in our communication, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, people have their interpretations, their mind's interpretations about what's going on in the other person's mind, and they see that as like the absolute truth, never entertaining the thought that there could be some other motive or thought process behind the other person's actions or speech, you know. And people just run with that, you know. So I just find that to be a very pervasive
prominent
problem.
Yeah.
In communication. I see it all the time. So I'm glad
One of the things that I find is that people are good at speaking but not good at listening.
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
Mm.
And
listening
readily attached to their own, you know, interpretations or perspectives of situations. Very attached to that, and it's like that's the absolute truth, just because that's what their mind came up with. But yeah, like you said, also
to overcome that is called emphatic listening or empathic hearing, where one is listening with a way trying to understand the feelings and the moods behind the words and not just the words itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when that's there, then one can communicate or respond properly.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually have seminars in our society called, you know, how to listen properly, emphatic, because the mind is full of thoughts, and while we're speaking, we're not ready to listen. Sometimes we even use a joking thing that you see some two or three people speaking at the same time. Nobody's hearing anybody. Everybody's just speaking.
So
it becomes quite
because two or three people are what? The same people
all speaking at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, everyone's oblivious to what everyone else is saying. They're just absorbed in what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a more of in a ridiculous situation, but it does happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the time.
So the whole basis of relationship is communication. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And the basis of problem solving is what we say proper communication. But it's two sides. It's not just speaking, it's hearing. Because without hearing, you know, without hearing properly, one cannot also respond properly.
Yeah, it just sounds so basic.
Yeah, but because we live in a very passionate lifestyle, we're going through life in that way also. Is running through life. And sometimes people are just part of that process. And that's very much prominent in what we say highly advanced countries, where you find in more simplified societies, there's more personalism, there's more ability to communicate. Mm-hmm. Which is a feature of our, you know, highly technical industrial society.
You mind if I switch gears a little bit, Maharaj?
Yeah.
To your prison ministry.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just curious about, for one thing, do you preach in like those hardcore prisons? And if so, you know, what are they able to actually do in Krishna consciousness in such places?
Well, the jails, and especially in the U.S., of course, I also preach in other countries, but in the U.S., you find that there are different levels of confinement, all the way up to what we say high-level security, depending on the level of crimes committed. So I find that each jail is somewhat has its own, what we say, modus operandi,
mm-hmm.
according to how they want to run the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty much given what we say free rein on how they organize things,
mm-hmm.
especially with the external world. We don't do anything different from one type of jail to another. We speak Krishna consciousness in a very simplified and basic way where people can be understand. We emphasize the importance of chanting, reading Prabhupada's books, and the importance of that no material situation can block one's relationship with God. And no material situation can restrict one from freedom. Freedom is more a state of consciousness than it is a state of physical environment. Although physical environment is restrictive or not restrictive, still, the more you are connected to Krishna, the more you're free from the physical environment you're in. Or at least from the effects of the physical environment you're in, like that.
Yeah, actually,
so it's relative.
Yeah, can you elaborate on this part? Like, when you are, you know, like, as you said, you know, your external environment can be very restrictive, but that restriction is on the movement of your physical body. But I think you're saying
right.
that. The real freedom, when we talk about the freedom that your consciousness affords, you're saying that the freedom comes in terms of how we respond in terms of like attitude about our situation?
That's part of it, but the essence is connection with Krishna, because the soul is pure and the soul can never be touched by matter. The more we connect with our soul, the more we're revealing its pure nature. And that pure nature sort of dissolves or somehow overshadows our physical situation. And then, yeah, the answer is also how we respond to the external environment will be also due to how much we are Krishna conscious.
But that the freedom that you're saying that we can experience when we identify more with our soul, that freedom you're saying is actually you're talking about the freedom to experience our relationship with Krishna. Is that specifically the freedom that you're referring to?
Yeah, because when you have freedom, that connection with Krishna means complete freedom. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'll give you an example, which is somewhat similar, and it's the story of a great Greek philosopher. His name was Socrates. And Socrates was preaching against the, well, he's preaching different from what the church was preaching at the time. And the church was becoming disturbed. And so they had warned him through the local authorities. They were in a position of rule, that if he didn't stop, then they were going to take some action. But that didn't deter him. He continued. And then finally they arrested him and said, because you are violating, you know, the rules and not following, you know, you're preaching something that's not true, and therefore sentence you to death by taking poison. So, and then it went on, and then they said to Socrates, who with you once you die? He said,
what?
As far as my body is concerned,
what should we
do with you when once
on
you
line. Oh, okay, good. Can you repeat that last part?
Yeah, what should we do with you once you die? And he said, well, as far as my body is concerned, you can do anything you want with that, but as far as I'm concerned, you'd have to catch me. He knew he was different than his body.
Yeah.
He had realized he was on Brahman realization.
Uh-huh.
Socrates was Brahman realized.
Wow. Wow.
So
amazing.
He knew whatever happens to his body is not happening to him.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So in the same sense, we try to inculcate that consciousness into the inmates that, you know, you're thinking that you're going to be happy when you get out and that's your goal, but now why don't you just get out of the mental chains that are binding you to this prey place by becoming connected with something that is transcendental, something that is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And not only can you get free, but you can experience the qualities of that freedom. In other words, one feels happy.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when Haridas Thakur was put in prison by the Qazi. And while he was in prison, he was speaking to the other inmates. And he was preaching to them, and they developed a real attraction for him and an attachment. Finally, when he was about to be taken out of the prison, he spoke to them. He said, stay as you are. Stay as you are. And so they all misunderstood that statement. And then he could understand. They didn't understand, and he explained. Stay as you are is now you're becoming Krishna conscious. Stay as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, wonderful explanation, Maharaj. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's all a matter of degree. The more we're Krishna conscious, the less we're affected by the externals.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We have to deal with the externals,
mm-hmm.
but we're not disturbed by them or elated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not affected by them.
Yeah, not affected, which means not being disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
Or being overly happy about these.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Krishna explains that in the Gita, in the fifth chapter. One who is not elated by happiness, or he uses another word for unhappiness.
Mm-hmm.
The person is situated in transcendence.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Equality is called dira.
Hmm?
Equality is, the word is dira, dira.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Dira, dira means undisturbed.
Okay.
Sometimes we see a big person like that and we think they're uninterested. We take undisturbed as being a person who's not disturbed as being uninterested.
Mm-hmm.
That may look like that. But they are interested in whatever they're doing, but they're not disturbed by the results of the activities.
Yes. Right, there's a difference between being uninterested and undisturbed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Very well. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Shyamalasakhi.
Shyamalasakhi.
Thank you for your class, very, very relevant. And very much needed in society, especially our society in life. I had a question, Maharaj. You were talking about the components of auspiciousness, truthful, pleasing, and beneficial.
Yeah, satyam priyam, satyam bruyam.
Yes, I was wondering if you could tell us how you can be conscious of the components. Specifically for myself, I was thinking of being and beneficial part. Very, how we can be conscious to be of these two components. It's not like second nature.
No. It's something we have to practice. Something we have to practice.
Please mute the phone. It's difficult to hear the Hare Krishna.
Otherwise, you can use this again. Yeah, that will help too.
Actually, for the question. Here, Mona.
You may have to repeat the question because nobody will hear otherwise.
Mm-hmm. By practice. Are we connected?
Can you check?
Yes, Maharaj.
Oh, okay. You can hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. By practice. Yeah, as you say, it's not second nature. But habit is overshadowed by another habit. And habit is second nature. It can be. First nature is our original nature. Second nature is our acquired nature. More like our conditioned nature. So, to recondition means to re-emphasize or emphasize what you want to become like. The simple statement, practice makes perfect. If you want to be humble, you have to practice humility. You want to be expert at doing something, requires practice. And also, in some sense, getting guidance from others. Practice. Is that okay? we are not getting any reception.
Thank you, Maharaj. Very nice.
Nothing.
You have explained, even though you know all this disturbance, still we can hear you. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Very nice class.
Thank you. It's all Prabhupada's mercy.
It's your mercy, Maharaj.
Mercy comes from the sea. Krishna is the source of mercy. So, more questions.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my obeisances.
Okay.
Question is.
I'm hearing you from here.
Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my obeisances. Thank you for the nice class. One question regarding assumptions, expectations, and then when the assumptions is not really true or the expectations are not met, the relationship between the devotee, the family starts falling apart. So how do we control our urge of having expectations from others about our own needs or our own gratification?
How do we communicate that, or how do we control?
How do we control the need or the urge of having expectations?
Well, in order for any unit to function, certain things have to happen. There has to be some protocol for operations. You can't just come together without some communications about what is expected and then let it go on. So these expectations, there's unnecessary expectations or expectations that are really not expectations, and then there's those who are, you know, just like it's expected that the wife will cook while the husband comes home from work. And so if she doesn't do that, then there is a lack of fulfillment of expectations, and then there's a breakdown in relationship. If the husband doesn't provide for the needs of the family, then that's an expectation that the other family members will wonder what happened. So, yeah, there are certain things that have to happen, otherwise the relationship will break down. So, and then there's other things that are what we say false expectations, are not necessary. So you have to be able to discriminate between what is essential and what is extra, or what is not necessary. So, you know, there's always some expectations. Otherwise, how do things function? And if one, just like if you sign a contract to do some work, you know, there has to be people in place to provide the needs in order for the work to go on. Otherwise, there's a breakdown in the whole operation. And communication helps to avoid that. Like that. And when you see certain expectations are not being fulfilled, it could be mentioned. But then again, how it's mentioned will make a difference in how it's received, and how whether it'll make a change or not. Mm-hmm. It's the thing. Instead of blaming the person, blame the situation. You know, if someone doesn't fulfill their expectations, you focus on the lack of fulfillment rather than on the person's inability to do it. You know, if somebody does something wrong and you say, oh, you're so stupid, you might feel good about that, but that doesn't solve the problem, nor does it make communications you know, work. But if you focus on, well, this was supposed to be done, and we can see you didn't do this, is there any reason why it didn't happen? There's different ways of making your point. The person might also, you might be right by calling them stupid, but that's not gonna help at all. It's just gonna make the communications break down even farther.
It could make the situation worse at that moment.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anything else? Anywhere? That's it?
Yeah, I just...
On the call,
I was laughing just now, because I thought that that last comment was... It revealed the fact that, you know, if we are dealing with somebody who is unintelligent, it doesn't mean that you have to deny to yourself, you know, that they're unintelligent, but, you know, expressing that is not going to help the situation. Because, you know, today everybody likes to think, you know, oh, everybody's intelligent, you know, everybody's equal and stuff like that, you know, but it's not true. You know, it's just that expressing that is not going to help, you know, move things forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, just, you know, you might feel good about how you express some negativity, but it's not going to help them. Not going to help solve the problem.
Right.
And sometimes that's what happens. And some people don't even care about solving the problem. They just want to say what they want to say.
Yeah, that probably happens more often than not, I would say.
Yeah, so communications is the basis of relationships.
Yes.
And relationships is the principle of life. Life, the happiness we're looking for in life is based on relationships. And that's based on communication. And communication can be done in different ways, not only verbal, but how you behave is another form of communication.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. That's why that verse we quoted, one should speak truthfully, beneficially, avoid speech that offends, and back up one's statements with higher authority. It can even be done in a day-to-day life. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Well,
nice to hear from you today.
Hare Bogyo, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
My obeisances to all the listeners out there.
My obeisances to you, Maharaj.
All glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for your enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you. We look forward for your association again and again in the future, Maharaj. If nobody has any questions.
I think when we removed the microphone, they were not able to hear the answers. So I tried to move the microphone here, but that was not helping them. So, whatever.
We could hear you fine on the call. Something?
I'm pretty tired anyway. I guess I put everybody to sleep.
Hare Krishna.
Are you crying? Or are you gonna
yeah, something happened. Something happened to her. I don't know what happened.
Hare Krishna.
What did I say that made you cry?
No.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Hare Krishna, please.
Are the devotees still on the call or?
Yes, we are still on the call because one question.
They have question.
Please repeat the question, Mataji.
Yes. Indu Mataji, are you there?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Hare Krishna, Piti Velasi, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. I do have a question. How can we have an unbiased, open conversation with another person without any impressions in our mind about exactly the person or what their response would be? How can we have an open dialogue?
I think it's how you say it. You know, you don't have to change your impressions just to somehow or other communicate. Impressions are impressions. So, and you may also want to communicate something. I think personal motivation in order to somehow or say what you want to say, and you are convinced that that's the whole thing without hearing from the other person. So wanting to hear other possibilities in terms of their response allows those impressions to be, what we say, altered or fulfilled, either way, one way or the other. If we're just biased that this is the way it is and we can't hear and we just want everyone else to accept like that. So communication is two ways. Okay. And again, how it's said is also very much fundamental to how much the communication will develop. Like, I'll give you an example in my own life. Some one person was criticizing one senior devotee, and so I wanted to change that person's attitude towards that senior devotee. So I approached him, and we just talked. So he became angry at me. He was just firing at me as much as he could. And I just remained quiet and calm and listened to everything he said. Then when every time he stopped with his diatribe, I said something. But I didn't say it in an angry way. I just responded to it. So this went on. And finally, at the end, he apologized for everything, and then he finally went to that senior devotee and apologized for his attitude towards him. Somehow or other, I made him see he was wrong by the way I responded to what he said, and not so much, oh, what I said too was also important, but, you know, if I would have been arguing and using the same arguments that I said, then it would have got nowhere. But the way I did it, it somehow or other, it worked. Now, this was amazing because the person completely changed. And I didn't expect that. And the person who we apologized to later came up to me and said, what did you say to him? I said, I didn't say nothing. I just listened to him mostly. I said a few things. That's all. So a lot of times, you know, it's good to be a good listener, you know. Actually, listening is more important than speaking. Sometimes we use a little joke. It's not a joke, but it's a revelation of reality. God has given us two ears and one tongue. So hearing is twice as important as speaking. And when hearing is done effectively, speech will become more clear and more to the point.
Very true. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Very, very relevant answer. That's true. We have to listen. And it's okay to keep our impressions still with us. the way we talk is more important, the way we convey the message is more important. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Is there anyone else? Can they hear me?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for your enlightened class today. We are very grateful to you, Maharaj. We look forward for your association again in future. If nobody has any questions, then we end the call here.
Okay.
Okay, paying obligations to Guru Maharaj and all the devotees, Vansha Kalpataribhyasya, Kripa Sindhu Devacha, Pasipanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namah. Vansha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, His Holiness Chandramani Maharaj, Swami Maharaj. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Thank you for running the operation.